Welcome to the 10-Minute Talent Show. My name is Justin Cross, and today our guest, he is the head of account management at Sense, which is the number one talent engagement platform for enterprise recruiting out there. I'm just going to tell you, this guy, he is a celebrity around these parts. Scott Hanna, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure is all mine. Thank you, Justin.
Scott, I have to say, of all the podcast guests, you have been the most low maintenance. Usually people come in here and they ask about craft services and what's going to be in their trailer prior to coming in, the only blue M&Ms, that type of thing. But you actually just came off a call with Horizontal, is that right?
Yeah. We had our account review with them, which we have every quarter. So, I'm all Horizontal right now as we speak.
Well, and for the audience listening, Scott has been in, in full disclosure, he's worked for Glassdoor as well as several other organizations out there pretty much ever since college, from what I can tell. So he's been in this space for a long time, when it comes to hiring and seeking out jobs and that kind of thing. So we're going to talk to him about that in general. But for folks who don't know the number one talent engagement platform for enterprise recruiting out there, that is Sense, what kinds of stuff do you do? Like, what was kind of the call about with Horizontal, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so from a high level, Sense is a automation and engagement platform for staffing and the enterprise companies out there. So we work with companies like Horizontal to communicate with candidates and improve employee engagement and candidate engagement throughout the entire life cycle. So whether that's engaging with candidates that are in your database that you haven't talked to in 5 years and want to get them back into work. But also the warm and fuzzy stuff, making sure people know when their start date is, asking them for feedback after the first week, surveying them after a month on their assignment, or even asking for referrals as well, all the way through to the end of the assignment when we're trying to redeploy them and bring them into a different kind of role out there as well. So we have several different products that help with that, but I won't go into each one. But essentially, we're just trying to make the world a better place to work and make candidates feel like they are cared about and they're being engaged with by their recruiters.
Well, and that is that's a really cool mission, because I know that is not always the case. This as well as I do, but not everybody. A lot of people use staffing companies both to help find talent as well as to find employment. Not all of them have good experiences on both sides. And so what you guys do is really important. And I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, when maybe a week ago or so, when we were just kind of chatting. But what kind of got you into this space? And why do you care so much, in general, about like making work culture and making the whole onboarding process? Why do you care about making that better?
Well, it's a very daunting experience for any candidate, whether they're going to work directly for an employer or they're working through a staffing firm. Like, I've always worked as a direct hire placement for every company I've worked with, but I've always used a recruiter to get my job, right?
Okay.
So I've worked with bad recruiters and good recruiters, and you want to feel like you're being paid attention to, you want to feel like you're being cared for, not only through the recruiting process, but you want that to last throughout your entire tenure. So, with Glassdoor, it was about, highlighting issues that companies may have so that you can make the best decision about the job you're going to take. Because no one's happy if you go into a job and you're surprised and nothing's what you thought it was, and then you end up leaving.
Right.
Other companies I've worked at have been around performance management, right? How do you grow your career? How do you get feedback? How do you set goals for yourself, basically? And that's what a lot of people identify as their purpose at work, right? They want to make an impact. They want to grow. So for me, it's always been important that, with all the talk of work reform and, people being unhappy at their jobs or not being paid enough, it's important that, number one, companies realize this, but two, that the candidate or the employee feels engaged with the organization they're working for. And therefore, everybody's happy.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, I was talking to a work culture expert yesterday around this, and you kind of alluded to it a second ago, but there's been a big shift, obviously, since the pandemic of people working remote, or, you know, obviously the market's changed a little bit over the last few months. And I understand that obviously looks like we might be heading into a recession here. But at the same time, it just seems different in the sense that employees still like have, you know, more power than they have in the past. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, more in say in the type of company they work for, and it goes well beyond just money and payment. I'm curious, I know this is kind of getting off of maybe kind of sense and everything, but tell me about like your thoughts on how things have changed over the last couple of years and you know, what employers can do to help retain really good talent and good employees.
Sure. I think what's changed a lot is exactly what you said, is that employees do have a lot more power than they think they have, right? And, you know, if you're a performing employee and you're hitting your goals and you're progressing your career and you're a valuable asset to the company, you typically have a lot of choices, you know, and a lot of us have seen this in the professional world, you know, getting LinkedIn messages, getting emails, getting text messages from recruiters trying to pull you away for your current opportunity. And a lot of them will dangle a higher dollar amount in front of them. That doesn't make it the better choice, right? At the end of the day, you know, you could get paid more, but are you treated worse? Or are you not working for somebody you believe in? Or are you selling a product that you don't necessarily believe in?
Yeah.
Those are all factors that can make it either more enticing or less enticing for you to leave that job. So the current employer you have has a responsibility to keep you and to keep you happy and to align your satisfaction with their company goals so that it's a win-win for both sides, right? And if you have a highly engaged employee, they're typically going to produce more. They're typically going to refer their friends. They're going to speak highly of the company, and they're going to stay longer. And if we look at the cost of, you know, filling in a new employee when one's left, it's much cheaper to retain an employee than it is to, you know, lose somebody and have to replace them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I got a couple more before we go, but, you know, I'd be remiss if I did not ask you about being at Glassdoor, because I've used Glassdoor. I mean, obviously most people listening to this podcast, kind of like LinkedIn in a way. Glassdoor is so well known if you've ever looked for a job or looked at reviews for companies or salaries and that kind of stuff. But you were early on. You were one of the first folks to be hired at Glassdoor, am I right?
Yeah, I was the 25th employee there. Yeah.
Wow. So what was that like? I mean, how were the craft services at Glassdoor when you first got there? That's what I mean, that was back in the day of you know, ping pong tables and that kind of thing, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think that was a big part of it. I mean, you know, there was really two components. Is one was companies were getting, you know, a lot of bad feedback, and, you know, good employers and progressive employers were looking at ways to improve that. So they would decipher through those reviews. Of course, you're always going to have somebody grumpy, right? Who's just, you can't satisfy in any way. Not that I know any, but, but it, you know, the good employers really leaned into that and took that feedback to heart.
It's really, by the way, it's you and Elon Musk who are just handling all those negative customer reviews these days.
I mean, it was interesting, you know. And then the other side is to what you're saying, like, how do we attract people, right? And why are people going to want to come work here? So being able to highlight your culture, not just leaving it to the reviews, right? You know, and we would tell companies, like, hey, don't be afraid to go out and ask for this feedback, and don't just seek good feedback, right? It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and if work-life balance is something that's just not good at your company, but the money is, there's going to be talent out there who cares more about money than work-life balance, right? And you want to make sure you hire the right employee for you, and there's no surprises at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I was talking to a guy who Chris Hancock, who works with us here on the recruiting side, for a previous interview, and he was talking, you know, we all change, like, in our lives, right? Like, we, you know, at some points earlier on, we want money and we live off Chipotle. Huh. And then we get older and maybe it's less about, it's more about work-life balance, but also Chipotle. Right. And, you know, it's true that, like, those things can change, and obviously company needs can change and stuff. Yeah. So that makes a ton of sense.
And companies change too. You know, at an early stage startup, it might be a lot of work, which it typically is,
yep.
right? You're going to wear different right. hats. But as that company grows, more bureaucracy comes into play, more segmentation of roles. So having that information and getting that feedback from other people who have been in those shoes really helps you make the best decision about where you want to work.
Scott, I'm just going to call you for like work therapy. If you don't mind. Just
more than happy to help.
You've seen this before. Tell me. No, I'm just. Yeah. Well, and last question I want to ask you. You're flying the flag right now. You're wearing the Sense account management shirt. You are the head. I know. I love it. Or the jacket, I should say, because it's Denver and it's probably chilly out there, at this point in the year. But what, you know, as an account, as the person who is the head of the account management team over there, like, you know, a lot of companies, certainly sales oriented ones, have account management teams or deal with account managers. You know, we have it on both sides. You of course is one of our vendors, but what makes a good account manager in your opinion, and what do you look for when you're bringing folks onto your team?
Yeah, I think what is powerful about a good account manager is they have both your company that you're representing, but also the customer in mind. And, you know, the idea is that you've got to be empathetic to the needs of the client more than anything, but you've got to stand behind your business on the other end, right? So the way that I typically approach that is... Yep. Just try being as real as possible. Whenever I train a new rep, and whether they're on the new business side, you know, in the past careers, or if they're somebody on my team, it's really, don't forget you're having a real conversation with a real person, and you need to identify what their needs are, right? And it's, you know, if you're going to be trying to put a square peg in a round hole just to increase your commissions, you're probably not going to do great, right? So it's really, you got to have a lot of care and a lot of, you need to actually care about your customers and what they want, but also be realistic and maybe be the one that says, hey, we're not going to be able to do that, but we can do X, Y, and Z. Is that important to you? Instead of making false promises or trying to, you know, jerry-rig something that's not going to be a good solution for them.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think it's a two-way street. And when you have clients like Horizontal, I love your team, who give you that real information, give you that real feedback, and know that you're there for their best interests, and also somebody who wants to make your current company grow, I think there's a really good synergy between the two, the client and the account manager, that comes out to a win-win in the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice. And it goes, I think, almost beyond just an account manager role, because if you think about it, it's like, you know, what's good for the long term, right? Like, there's always these like kind of quick win things, or, you know, and of course we'll try to get those sometimes, but there's always sort of like, hey, what's the thing, what's the shiny object, versus like, hey, actually, if we think about this, like, what's the best case scenario?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's fantastic advice. Scott, Hannah from Sense, thank you so much for being with us on the podcast. This was fantastic. We really enjoyed talking with you.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much for the invite.